Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church. Man, I'm loving this fall weather. Bring it on. Loving it. Okay. Looks like everybody's settled in here. Glad to have each and every one of you this morning, and just look forward to having a great topic. Folks, we have got some exciting stuff to look at. I get so excited, and all through the week, all I can do is think about this lesson. I love this topic so much, and I'm so passionate about it. I think the word needs to get out. So anyway, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you so much for your account of creation. Lord, you told us what you did in the beginning. And Father, and your word is truth, and it's true. And Lord, help us to understand that. And Lord, we realize that, Lord, this topic, the devil has been so clever and so, he's been made such great accomplishments in confusing people. Over the thing of evolution and creation. And the secular world buys into evolution, and Lord, a lot of Christians buy into maybe all of it or portions of it. And Lord, again, it's a very confusing thing. And the truth needs to be made known. And I pray, Lord, as we go through these studies, I pray that you'll help me to be able to let that truth be made known. And Lord, to where I can teach it in a clear and understandable way that people can understand it and believe it. So we just commit the service to you. I pray the Holy Spirit will be our teacher now as we go through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wrote a commercial that you guys got in your bulletin last Sunday. And after I got home, I was just kind of reading through it. And all of a sudden, I hit the panic button in this commercial I put in there. And I put in here, is there evidence of evolution in the fossil record? And then right behind it, I wrote, there should be. And I, whoa. The people could take that, no, there should not be, okay? There should not be. There should be if it was true, okay? And we're going to talk about this at great length in the future, not today. But anyway, but you take a look at the fossil record, there is no evidence in the fossil record of evolution. A fossil fish looks then like it does today. And a fossil of anything, plants, you name it, it looks like it does today. If, you know, and I'm stealing my thunder for in the future, but if evolution was a gradual process, you know, as you change from a frog to a bird, okay, whatever, there should be, you know, is this changing? You know, it's half bird, half frog. You know, you should see that in the fossil record. You don't. It's not there. Why? That's a question for you. Why? Why does it not show up? Because it didn't happen that way. That's why. Okay, enough on that. But no, I read that and I thought when I put in here, there should be that. It made it sound like there should be evidence of that, you know, in the fossil record. No, there should not be. So that was I hit the panic button when I read that and I wanted to clear that up. And there's just a little tidbit this morning. I'd like to share my heart with you guys for just a little bit. And it comes down to this. They say when you lose your spouse, you know, you've lost half of your life. And I've thought about that a lot. And, you know, I've lost a whale lot more than just half. I probably lost 85% of my life. I'm probably running on 15%. And, you know, just, and I'm not saying that for, anyway, there's just a big emptiness there. And I've taken a look at what's in my life now, And Jim, what is the greatest motivating force right now that's driving you to keep going on? You know, and you know what? It's you. It's you. I look forward. The main driving force in my life right now is preparing these lessons and the joy that I get in teaching this class. And that's true. Anyway, just a lot of times the four walls close in. There's nothing to do, nobody to talk to. You know, you go through this, and I flee to the Word of God. And it just, that's my main motivating force. And you know, the reason that I'm still here and the reason that you're still here is the fact God is not finished with us yet. When God is finished with us, He's going to take us home. All right? And so we're here, and He has got a purpose for leaving us here. And we need to be seeking Him and His will and His desire. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I've been asking, you know, I mean, I've got this big void to fill now. And Lord, is there anything new, anything different that you want me to do? How can I serve you more and more? And what other things can I do? And Lord, just direct me and then give me the wisdom to know the difference. So anyway, but that thought, I just want to share that with my, I just want you to know that how important that you are to me right now in this stage of my life. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege of teaching. Thank you. Okay, we're still in the process of an introduction. I was hoping to finish it last week. I did not. And so let me just take care of some business here right quick. Okay. We're going to wrap that up, and this morning we're going to get into some fun stuff this morning. And there's a lot of fun stuff coming. So, and I guess when I got down, we're talking about, you know, anyway, I ended at the point where I was going to let you know, what do I believe about creation? What do I believe? Okay. And I believe that the Bible is truth. Just to let you know where I stand. I believe the Bible is truth. I believe everything happened exactly the way God said it did. I believe that God did not make any mistakes. And if He knew better and told us different, I don't believe that God lied to us. I think what He says in the Bible, we could take it hook, line, and sinker. All right? And we as humans should not put a question mark where God put a period. And you'll hear me say that many times over and over and over again. Then we're matching our wits with His. Evolution comes from a vast number of intellectuals who reject the Bible's account of a God who created a universe from nothing. They reject the Bible's account, and they've came up with evolution. And so folks, if we're buying into evolution in any form whatsoever, we're abiding by the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God. That's what I believe. That's where I stand. And that's what I'm going to be teaching. And I know that there's going to be people in this room right now that are going to disagree with some of the things that I teach. And hopefully, if there's some, and there's going to be people at degrees in different forms of evolution, probably sitting in this room. And again, the devil has been very clever in deceiving people. And so that's kind of where I'm going to be coming from. And again, if there's something that I'm saying that is incorrect, okay, just a question here. Is Jim Gay capable of misinterpreting Scripture?
Yeah. No.
You're wrong. Okay. Now, Jim Gay is very capable of it. Okay. And I ask God, as I prepare these lessons, Lord, help me not to say anything up here that is untrue. That's why I panicked when I looked in that bulletin and I said, yeah, there should be evidence of evolution in the fossil record. No, there should not be, and there is not. Okay? But anyway, but I ask God, help me, Lord, guide and direct my thinking. Again, you've heard me say this before. I am not a creative person, okay? I am a copycat, and that's all I am, is a copycat. And I study these different people. I'm studying creation. I study people that I believe, okay, that I trust, that I, are kind of my heroes. And so I go through and I read accounts of people that are creationists, and I simply record down what they say. So there's nothing, so I'm not an original person. So, I just copy down what they say, but I believe what they're saying is true, and I can trust in them, what they're saying. So we're getting down to now. So what is the theory of evolution? And I call it a theory because it is only a theory. They claim it is fact. It is not fact. It is not fact at all. They were not there. They didn't see it happen. And they're simply making this up. So, things we can observe, on our daily day, open our eyes and look around. Things that we can observe today prove evolution to be untrue. Things we can look at. And that's what we're going to be talking about here over the next several weeks. So what is evolution? Evolution is based on the Big Bang Theory. We're going to take a look at what they believe, what they teach, okay? It is based on the Big Bang Theory. Evolutionists believe that it all began as a hot, infinitely dense dot, only a few millimeters wide, a fraction of an inch. So it all started with this little tiny, and I've looked this up under the evolution, under evolutionists, their story of the Big Bang. This is what they say. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what creationists say. This is what they say. All right. It started off as this little dot, a few millimeters wide, a fraction of an inch, less than an inch in diameter. Okay. And as we know from our chemistry classes way back yonder, for some of us, not too far back for some of us here. But anyway, we remember, okay, that a neutron, a proton, and an electron, make up, an atom, all right? But again, an atom, if you look at an atom, it is designed exactly the same way that the whole universe is. There's a tiny bit of real matter and a tremendous amount of space in between, all right? Well, apparently, and I remember them talking about back in chemistry class or whatever, that if you squished, took all the air out and mashed everything together and took it all out, we would have what they call solid matter. And so apparently they believe this whole thing started out like solid matter, because they believe that everything in the universe today, all of the solid matter in the universe, was contained in this little dot. And so he had to take all the stuff and squish it all down to take all the air out, and you got solid matter. And then I'll go on here. This tiny sphere contained all of the matter in the universe. And 13.8 billion years ago, they keep backing it up, but the latest theory now is 13.8 billion years ago, it exploded in a massive explosion. Boom. Big bang, okay? All matter in the entire universe came from the explosion from this fraction-sized dot. Folks, that had to be a heavy dot, by the way. Heavy dot. It formed all of the planets, the stars, and everything else in the universe. Everything. It was all contained in that little dot. Evolutionists have several ideas about how life began. Now, and again, not all evolutionists agree on the same thing, okay? I'm talking about the main theory that most of them will agree on. There's always, you got outsiders that, hey, no, this isn't right. But this is the main theme of what they teach. It came right from their own teaching. have several ideas about how life began, but admit that they have no real answers. How did life begin? Okay. Let's use one of their main ideas. Okay. All matter was molten because of the heat generated from this explosion. But over millions of years, it cooled down. So it's out there, all this, just the whole thing just blew apart, all the stars, planets, everything just exploded, and that's how they got out there. And they're out there now, okay? And it was molten because it was so much heat generated. But eventually, as cooling continued, a hard crust began forming on the surfaces of the planets and what have you. Then after millions of years, there was some phenomenon such as an acid rain. You know, then again, this is speculation. They will say this is speculation. They're trying to figure out how all this stuff began, okay? Then after millions of years, there was some phenomenon such as an acid rain that dissolved some of the crust on the earth, forming a slurry, a mud-like soup. Kind of a soup. They call it a primordial soup. Then about 3.5 to 4 billion years ago, another phenomenon occurred like a lightning bolt that struck this soupy slurry, forming an amino acid, which is a building block of life. You've got to have amino acids to have life. So you've got to begin with amino acids. And they're trying to figure out how did we come up with amino acids. All right. From this slurry, simple life organisms began to form, such as a primitive one-celled bacterium. You know, like a little bacteria. But that came to life on its own. From this simple beginning, life began to evolve into more and more advanced forms of life. Bacteria, and this is kind of the chain of events that they say happened. Bacteria to amoebas, to worms, to fish, to amphibians, which are frogs, okay, to reptiles, to dinosaurs, to birds, to mammals, to apes, and chimpanzees, Piltdown man, Neanderthals, and Homo erectus, and on to man. Now, these last three that I just mentioned, Piltdown, Neanderthal, Homo erectus, I couldn't get the right sequence of them. I've heard all those terms, you know, way back early man, caveman, the alley-oop type of guy. You old timers will know who alley-oop is. You young folks will not, okay? This is based on the principle of survival of the fittest, which means the strong survive and the weak die. That is why they believe that, you know, we have progressed upward because the strong live and the weaker ones die off. And so you keep getting stronger, 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 step by step. And by the way, creationists also believe in survival of the fittest. We believe in that concept. Okay, the strong have continued to survive and advance upward until we have what we have today. This process of evolution is still going on and advancing today. Still going on. Ongoing process. Evolution is a very slow process taking thousands or millions of years to happen. This is why we can't observe the changes, because they take place so slowly. And so we're on planet Earth for roughly 80 years. Well, let's see, I'm 81. Okay. Anyway, you know, but things take millions of years, and so it happens so slowly we can't see it happening. So that's why we can't see the evolutionary process going on today. It's what they claim. Now, in real life, things run down and things wear out in real life. You buy a new car today, 20 years from now, it's a junk pile, bucket of rust. Okay? Everything is winding down. It's slowing down. The evolutionists and creationists both agree the sun, one day, if life continues on, will actually burn out. I mean, it is burning out as we speak. The earth is beginning to wobble more. It's getting, you know, it's wearing down. It's running down. It's beginning to get more of a wobble. They've studied that, and they will both agree on that. Things are wearing down, running out. You know, you buy anything new today, you know, a few years from now, it'll be in a junkyard. The only exception being evolution. Evolution, everything keeps getting better and improving upon itself. Real life does not prove that out, folks. This would be like, evolution would be like, here's something that I just picked up, would be like a piece of metal, big piece of metal, forming itself into an engine, a transmission, and into a car that's running perfectly and ready for a vacation. Did it all on its own power, on its own accord. And that would be a simple thing if you try to compare it to what we see today in this universe around us. Folks, somebody has to design a car. We know that. A car's got to be designed. Here's some things they can't answer. Where did the matter come from to make the dot? Where did the acid rain come from? Where did the bolt of lightning come from, if that's what happened? I mean, that was just something they speculate on. They don't know what happened, and they'll admit that openly. But something happened, okay? Well, whatever happened, you know, where did that come from? Ask them if anyone was there to witness this, to witness the creation. They answer you, no. They ask you, were you there? We answer, no. But we know the one who was, and he had it written down. Now, they're not going to buy that, okay, but at least that's what we believe. We know who was there. The only one that was there, we know who he is, and he wrote it down, what he did, and it's written in this book. They ask us, well, where did God come from? Good question. The Bible says he was always there, and he had no beginning. We can't explain that. They can't explain theirs. We both have unanswered questions we cannot explain. How can we explain eternity past and eternity future? I can't explain that. It doesn't make sense. Okay? There's things we can't explain. You know, both of us can't explain certain things. And they'll ask you questions like this, you know, to try to corner you, and they can corner you. You don't have an answer, okay? Now, here I come to one of my favorite little things, and some of you have heard this, a lot of you have not. I'm going to tell you my rover story. How many of you have heard my rover story in the past? Few people. Okay, here's my rover story. Dad comes home from work. He's tired, you know. He flops down in an easy chair, and his little dog Rover's sitting down there beside him there in the chair. And he says, Rover, go fetch my paper. And Rover scampers off, grabs the paper, comes back, brings it back to Dad. Okay? Dad opens up the newspaper. All right? Rover, he lays down there, and he's just sitting there looking at Dad. He opens up the newspaper, and of course, the first thing he turns to is the funnies, the comics. Okay? And he reads the comics, and he starts laughing, and he's laughing and laughing and carrying on. Then he flips the page, and he turns to the obituary column, and he sees that a close friend of his has passed away, and Dad starts crying. And then he flips the page, and he turns the sports page, and he sees that his favorite team won. He jumps up and cheers, hooray, go Chiefs, go. All right? And he reads other things. He reads about some old thugs that beat up a little old lady and robbed her and left her half dead. And he gets angry and he jumps up and he shouts. He says, those guys need to hang by their toenails forever, you know. Well, Rover's watching all this stuff. He's looking at Dad, and Dad's showing all these different emotions. And Rover says, I don't understand. That guy, he acts like he's getting something out of reading that newspaper. But I don't understand that. And because I can't understand it, I'm not going to buy the fact that he can actually read that newspaper and get something out of it. So that's Rover's thinking. He cannot understand that. So, now somebody walks in and has got an intelligence meter to measure the intelligence of things, okay? And so first of all, he measures Rover's intelligence. And let's say that Rover's intelligence will be reach a span in between here. Rover's intelligence falls within these two parameters, okay? He can understand fetch the paper. He can understand roll over, bark, shake hands, play dead. He can, those things all fall within the range of his understanding, all right? But then anything beyond that, like Dad reading the newspaper, he can't understand that, okay? Now they put the intelligence meter on Dad, and Dad's intelligence ranges from here to here, all right? So in the same way, Dad can understand things that fall within these parameters, but anything outside of these parameters, Dad can't understand, okay? Now we put an intelligence meter on God, and it runs from eternity that way and eternity that way, okay? And so anything beyond here, we can't understand. And that is a way to kind of describe in Jim Gay's, now that was Jim Gayism there. Kind of a way to understand why there are things that we can understand and things we can't. And folks, there's things that we can't understand. And if we can't understand them and God said it, we just accept it by faith. God, you said it, that settles it. And I remember in the past, I used to say that a lot, but I added one other phrase in the middle. And the phrase I put, I taught this a lot, you know, when I taught at Medora. Okay, there's a couple sitting back here from Medora. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And Rita Schwartz came up to me one day and said, Jim, what you're saying is wrong. She says, Jim, you're saying God said it, you believe it, that settles it. She said, Jim, it doesn't make a lick of difference whether you believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. Now, wow. And for years I had been saying that, okay? Thank you, Rita, for straightening me out on that. It does not matter whether I believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. And folks, that is the approach that we need to take as we read God's word. We accept it whether we understand it or believe it or not. And if your thinking does not agree with God's thinking, you need to change your thinking. And I've had to do that a lot over the past. Things that I believed, and all of a sudden the Word of God teaches something different. And I thought, okay, one of the two of us is wrong. Either I'm wrong or God's wrong. So we got trying to, I'm still, God's still working on me on a lot of this stuff. But anyway, we need to change our thinking because God's Word is true. And we went through last week about all the different, that God is the one preserving His Bible. And some of you might have missed that last week. But we got all the different translations, this, that, and the other. But God says, my word shall never pass away. And it's not up to, we're not the ones protecting God's word. It's God that's making sure that it stands true. So, okay. Now, where am I here? Most scientists say that everything can be proven by science. Got to be proven by science or they don't buy it. Not everybody, most, okay? Evolutionists say that evolution is science. So at this point, let's define science. And here's the question. How does a scientist define science? So I've looked up their definition of what science is. Now, the first bit of this is going to get complicated, so bear with me here. And this is their verbatim definition of science. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. That's kind of complicated. It goes on to say, it is a systematic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation. Now that's key. And another thing that they do say, true science must be observable and it must be repeatable. That's how you define science. It must be observable and it must be repeatable. Okay, now that's interesting. So in the beginning of the universe, okay, so is the beginning today, is the beginning of the universe, is it observable? Yes or no? No, it is not. We cannot see the universe being created today. So in the beginning, so is the beginning of the universe repeatable? Could we repeat it? No. And so folks, in the two main themes about how they define science, they miss out on both counts from the get-go. They can't observe it and they can't repeat it, and yet that is a definition of science, and they say evolution is science. Folks, it's a lie. It's false. So evolution fails on both of their own definition of what science is because they have never observed how the universe came into existence, nor are they able to repeat it. So from the get-go, when you start off wrong, you end up wrong. So why do we have this theory of evolution today? Why do we have it? And I asked the question, and I thought, you know, the best answer that can be, we need to go to an evolutionist and get his reason for why do we have evolution today. And so there's an evolutionist. This guy's an evolutionist. He's not a creationist. This is his definition of why we have evolution today. And I quote, and his name, the guy's name is Sir Arthur Keith. He's an evolutionist, but this is the one that they all seem to quote. And this is a quote from his words, right from his mouth. Evolution is unprovable and unprovable. Well, he's right there. We believe in it, however, because the only alternative is an act of a creation by a God, and that is unthinkable. I'm going to repeat that. Evolution is unproven and unprovable. We believe it, however, because the only alternative is an act of a creation by a God, and that is unthinkable. In other words, we refuse to buy into the idea that there is a God and that this God created the universe. We refuse to believe in God or about him, or we will not acknowledge that he even exists. That's their definition. Why do we have okay, so all of a sudden, we're here, we look around, and so now we have got to come up with our own explanation as to how this all happened. And again, now we're going to take a look at the thought of secular man here. Secular man thinks, okay, like Sir Keith, whatever his name was, it's on the other page, I'm not going to turn back. If there is a creator, as the Bible says, then that creator made us. If he made us, then he probably thinks he owns us. If he owns us, he will probably have some rules for us to obey. Man says, I don't want anybody making rules for me. If I reject the idea that God exists, then I don't have to worry about submitting to him and I can do my own thing. Does that sound like thinking today? So then I can reject the idea that God exists and the idea of creation. I'm going to reject those things. But yet, as I look around and see everything, I must come up with another explanation of how all this started and how we got here. So we got to come up with an answer. And so man has come up with a theory of evolution. And it's the best that man has been able to come up with so far. They might have come up with something different in the future, but that's where we stand today, folks. Folks, God is the only one there, and he recorded in his work what he did. We're getting ready to look into that in detail. We're going to go through the first three chapters of Genesis, verse by verse. And we're going to take a look, and we're going to break each verse down, and we're going to take a look at it. What does it say? Okay, I just flipped the page, and I'm back to where we was last week. So it's time to shift gears here. Caught me off guard. You preachers, you guys are smooth at doing this stuff. I mean, you can flip pages, you can go here and there, run all over the place, and nobody ever knows it. In fact, I watch you to try to see how in the world you do it, because I am such a klutz. Okay. Here's one other little tidbit. One page, a short page, you know, but this is free of charge today, folks. And it's what I call evolution faith. Evolution faith. Faith and evolution. Those who believe in the Bible, God declares truth. Those who believe in evolution, man declares truth. So we got to decide who are we going to believe. To believe in evolution, one must believe that nothingness gave rise to matter, that chaos gave rise to organization, that lifeless matter gave rise to life, that chance gave rise to design, that brainless matter gave rise to a brain, that non-speaking matter gave rise to speech, including all of the languages. Non-thinking matter gave rise to thought. Sightless matter gave rise to sight. Genderless matter gave rise to male and female. And unintelligence gave rise to intelligence. To believe in evolution requires a much greater amount of faith than to have the faith in the intelligent designer that gave every detail to every facet of this universe. All we have to do is open our eyes, look around, and see the intelligent design that is clearly displayed all around us. This designer's name is Jesus Christ. Okay? And now we're getting ready to dive into it. Full bore. To start off with, you're thinking we're going to start in Genesis. No, let's start in the book of John. Let's turn to and you guys all know these verses by heart. You've memorized them years ago. But I just keep everything on the habit. Turn to John chapter 1. And I know most of you could quote these verses from memory, but I'm going to look at them anyway. John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 10. And who would read those verses for us? John 1, 1 through 3 and then verse 10. Pastor?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not.
Okay. So to start off with, the Bible tells us that God, in the beginning, Jesus Christ is what it's referring to, is the Word, and creation came through Jesus Christ. Okay. And I'm sure you're all familiar with those verses. So let's go ahead and let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to go straight through, verse by verse, what God says about creation. And so what we're reading here, It's not made up by anybody else. We're coming straight from the Word of God. So who would go ahead and read verses John 1, 1 through 5? Gary or John? Gary normally, okay, John. John.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning, the first day.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, I believe that verse 1 is a blanket statement. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I think that's a beginning. I think that's a blanket statement. Then I think beginning in verse 2, I think he begins and goes and tells us what he did. Okay, now, the reason I bring that up, and we're going to talk about this at length, okay, there are many Christians that believe that there is a big gap of time between verse 1 and verse 2. I personally do not believe that. But again, that's my personal feeling, and I don't like sharing my personal feelings, but I need to. But I believe that it's because there's some people that believe there's a big gap of time in there, and one's called a gap theory. There's a day-age theory, and we're going to talk about these in the future, but some believe there's a tremendous gap of time. I'll just quickly, being as I'm on the topic, I'll just quickly describe it. Some believe it says, okay, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, period. Now we have this, now they say during this time, they believe that this is when Satan fell, and Satan destroyed the earth. He destroyed it, and it had to, just totally crushed it. And that is where in all of the animals, they believe that like our oil reserves and stuff like that, that has all came from dinosaurs and, millions of years back. And all these animals and stuff, trees, plants, living material died and was buried during this catastrophe that happened. And then the decaying and over millions of years under tons of pressure, a lot of heat, that the decaying dinosaurs and other plants and animals created our oil reserves. And that is where we get our oil deposits today. Man, it took billions of years to happen, okay? Tremendous amount of, it takes a lot of, and they're right. You can create oil from plant and animal material by putting a tremendous amount of pressure on it and by putting a lot of heat on it. And you can actually, that stuff will break down and you'll get something that resembles an oil. And they can do that in a laboratory today. So the theory, what they're saying is true. The reality of what they're saying, I believe, is false. So they say that Satan destroyed all this stuff, and we got this big gap of time, and now after billions of years, now God comes along in verse 2, and he's got to rebuild it. And he has to start all over from scratch again. And they say, and then it says, and the earth was without form and void. And so they say, okay, the earth's without form and void because of all this destruction and death and destruction and everything like that. And so now he starts all over, and he starts again in verse 2. Now, I don't like teaching or telling you things that are false, but I think every bit of that is false. But I tell you that because I want you to understand, where the enemy, or the people with opposing voices, what their thinking is. And we're going to see a lot of that as we go through. Yes, sir.
Jim, to add with that, the reason why there is a gap theory is because Bible believers in the late 1800s could not refute the evolution.
Can you guys hear him back there? Can you hear him back there in the corners? No, they're all saying yes. Okay.
They could not refute the seemingly millions of years that the evolutionists were saying within the rock structure. The geology that they were seeing, I mean, millions of years for this to take place. And so that was the first attempt, if you will, of Bible believers to try to bring science and the Bible to agree by creating this gap here. So that now we can fit all of that in there and we're good.
Okay.
Prior to the late 1800s, there was no such thing as a gap theory.
Mm-hmm.
It was only after evolutionists came up with this idea of all these rock layers and seemingly it being science that, and I would agree, we have to come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? That was their attempt at doing that, is to create this gap theory.
Okay. Thank you very much. And you pastors, and so there's some of you Bible scholars out there, you guys know a lot more about this stuff than I do. I'll freely admit that, okay? And I appreciate so much. Thank you. I appreciate your comments, because I'm going to leave a bunch of cracks. And if you guys, if you at any time you see that I've left a crack open and you have got something that you've studied, I have not been to Bible college. I have not, you know, done any of that. And so I'm just Jim. And so there's a lot of things I'm going to leave some cracks. And so I appreciate so much your input. And my enemy, we're 2 minutes late right now. Walt.
Yeah, to add on to what the pastor said, in Hebrew, the word may mean became. There's no gap. But he would have said at this point, in God's creative activity, the earth was yet unfashioned and not inhabited. There's no gap here. But at that time, in God's creative activity, the earth was yet unfashioned and uninhabited.
Okay. Thank you, Walt. All right. I appreciate it. Folks,
I've got a quick comment.
All right. Do you ever have a quick one?
No.
I didn't say that, folks.
First time he would have created animals is adding to scripture. And when we get to Deuteronomy and the end of Revelation, there's a big it's bad
warning
for those who add to scripture. And you would have to add to scripture to get those animals in the first place.
And a big question about that we're going to answer, big question, monumental question, when did death begin? And we're going to cover that at great length. When did death begin? Hold that thought. All right, we're 4 minutes late. So let's folks, invite your friends. Folks, this stuff needs to be known. Invite your friends. Come, so much confusion. People don't understand this. And we're gonna spend some considerable time on several different facets as we go through this. Invite your friends to come. Tell them, hey, look, there's some stuff here that you'd probably need to know. And maybe stop some confusion. Okay, it's time to close. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, as we go through this, I pray, Lord, that you will help me to be able to teach this, and with the help of others in this class, Lord, we can teach this and give a greater understanding of a very confusing topic, a very controversial topic. It's caused a lot of division, and it's got Christians confused. It's got a lot of us confused. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll guide and direct as we go through these lessons. I pray, Lord, that you will bring more people here, Lord, that need to hear this. And we'll leave that in your hands. Lord, I just pray that you be with our pastor this morning as he brings the word. Lord, open our hearts. Lord, give us understanding. Give us a desire to learn. And Lord, then, a desire to apply and to use to put in practice the things that we learn as we learn from the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are now 5 minutes late.